Where's America headed? Well, these days we're all looking for clues through census data, polling, predictions, historical context. Well, our next guest writes in the New York Times that he's found the future of America, and it's Texas. Stephen Pedigo says the Lone Star State offers a glimpse into not only our economic future, but the political fault lines as well. Pedigo runs the LBJ Urban Lab at UT Austin, and he joins us now. Welcome.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here. Well, you know, Stephen, mostly the discussion we've been having for quite some time always revolves around California versus Texas. We see these two powerhouse states as models for what the future of the U.S. could look like. But you say Texas is actually where we should be focused. And let's start with what you discovered around the growth in population. The numbers are pretty significant.
Yeah, the numbers are out of this world. I mean, you know, your point about California and Texas and that comparison that we often see is a very interesting one. And in fact, it's actually what started the work with the Times on the piece. And so one of the things that we did was actually go back and look to see how California, Texas, and the U.S. have grown over the last 50 years. And what's really interesting is that if you look from 1970 to 1920, you know, California really saw its boom in the 1980s to 1990s. And since, you know, 2000 to 2020, recently, California has actually trailed the U.S. in growth. However, you know, as we look at Texas, Texas has boomed, as you said. I mean, our growth numbers are a bit off the chart. 4 million new residents from 2000 to 2010, an additional 4.2 million from 2010 to 2020. And if we look at that growth and compare it to the U.S., it's about two times the U.S. average, so about 40% growth over the last 20 years. And so, you know, the argument that I make in the Times that if you're really wanting to understand what's been this growth engine across the U.S., look at Texas and not California.
Texas is historically known for big oil and cattle, but also low taxes and little regulation, as you're alluding to. What does the growing economy in Texas actually look like? And how does that reflect, more importantly, where America is heading?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's interesting about Texas is, you know, a lot of folks think about our economy as sort of cattle and big oil and energy production. But really, I mean, if you look at across the state of Texas, we have 26 metropolitan areas. The Texas Triangle, where most Texans live, 7 in 10 Texans actually live in San Antonio, Austin, Dallas-Fort Worth, and Houston. That Texas Triangle is extremely diverse in its economy and really reflective of where the U.S. economy is going, particularly around healthcare, technology, energy production, and the energy transition, looking at the startup and technology-based economy. And so the growth that you see in our metropolitan areas here in Texas and the growth of that economy really reflects where the U.S. economy is going, and that is very much more knowledge-driven, very much more driven around what my colleague Rich Florida would call the rise of the creative class, and that's really playing out here in Texas as well.
What's also maybe not a coincidence is that many companies we've seen over the years have moved from California to Texas, most recently Tesla. You say that this points to a larger trend where companies are seeking more than just lower taxes and maybe more than a louder political voice.
First, I think, is you have to step back and understand sort of the fundamentals about how companies are making relocation decisions. And in today's economy, right, we know that most company decisions are all talent driven. And so one of the things that I think that has been very beneficial for California companies as they look to Texas is the fact that our workforce is much more diverse, it is much more educated, and it's really, frankly, very reflective of the workforce of the U.S. in terms of skills, in terms of diversification as well. What makes Tesla's example very interesting is that, in fact, Tesla absolutely, while they say they will have made a cultural and political decision to move, very much moved to Central Texas and Austin, Texas, because of the highly skilled technology-based workforce that has been really comfortable in working in that software and production space, which is really important to Tesla's ethos. So very much around talent attraction, I think, is one issue. Secondly, I think the point that you make is really important, and that is, unlike a lot of communities, Texas actually very much values the private sector at the policymaking table. We have a long history of doing that. You can go back all the way to when Ann Richards was governor through George W. Bush, Rick Perry, and then now to Governor Abbott. The private sector has always played an important role here in Texas through public-private partnerships very active chamber of business associations, groups like Texas 2036. And so one of the things that, you know, it is that business environment, it is that low taxes environment, but it is also the access to a really skilled workforce, as well as a seat at the policy table to help shape policy. Now, I think the challenge we face now, and I think people like myself that have really kind of thought about this Texas growth model, is now we're saying, well, where is the business community? As we become and see more of these socially conservative issues being pushed forward, can we expect the business community to come back to the table, to have a larger voice to help us shape that policy? I know people like myself who study this, we really hope that will be the case going forward.
You know, Stephen, it's hard to talk about Texas these days without also mentioning the divisive policies of the governor, Greg Abbott. I mean, as he engages in cultural wars, I mean, signing this controversial abortion restriction and pushing back on vaccine mandates, and he watches what happens within his own Republican Party, how is the state judging him?
Well, I think a couple things. I think your point about the vaccine mandates is a very interesting one, particularly in the last few days here in the state. On Friday, we actually saw the business community here, all of the chamber organizations, Chamber of Commerce organizations, the Greater Houston Partnership, the Dallas Regional Chamber, and others actually come together and advocate against the legislation that would prevent their businesses from mandating vaccines. And so we actually are now starting to see, I think, the private sector step up a bit and raise more of a question about some of these socially conservative issues. You know, in terms of what it looks like going forward, I think it's going to be a really interesting 12 to 18 months as we move into the governor's race, as we move into the statewide races here in Texas, to really ask the question of those new residents that have located in the Texas, these new urban metropolitan demographics, how are they going to play out? How do they align with an extremely social conservative social agenda that the governor and the lieutenant governor and the state's GOP has really put forth? I think that's really a question to be determined. In fact, you know, I think a lot of pundits and folks have written in the last few weeks, even months about Texas and really, in a sense, maybe raising alarm and riding the state off. But I'm a bit more optimistic. I think that we possibly will see a course correction. I hope that our voters do hold our political representatives more accountable, to align policies that become more aligned with who we are as a state. You know, I think we are seeing our business community start to push back on that, and I'm hoping that our political electorate will take some follow in that as well.
And going back then to your original hypothesis that Texas represents America, you're basically saying that we will begin to see these shifts and changes in other parts of our country, as we already are seeing.
Yeah, I mean, look, Texas is already showing, I mean, we're already seeing these challenges happening, even some of the most progressive states. I mean, look at California, the recent recall election. Yes, it went for Governor Newsom in a way, but in a sense, you could already see the political backlash in a state that is extremely, perhaps, as progressive as the state of Texas. You know, we see this in New York. We're seeing this in other parts of the Southeast play out in Florida and in Georgia and Arizona. So, you know, it is this interesting divide that we see, where we see an extreme right and extreme left. And for those of us that care about economic development, the growth of our communities, I think one of the things that we have to really push our policymakers to do is to come back to the middle, to be more pragmatic about our politics, and really focus on solving the issues that are at hand, and maybe pushing away from these extreme conservative issues. The issues of climate, you know, the issues of racial justice, the issues of ensuring that we're building more inclusive communities will happen at the local levels, and it's going to require the support of our state and local officials to work together and not essentially butt heads as we're seeing here in the state of Texas.
Stephen Pettigo is with the LBJ Urban Lab at the University of Texas, Austin. Thank you so much for this conversation.
Thanks for having me.